Bibles, turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Amen. Good. Good singing tonight, this afternoon. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 14. Get back to. I want to preach a message tonight about revival. About revival and preparing for revival, being part of revival, what revival means. We've talked about it, getting back. Revival just means to be revived, right? If you were asleep and somebody wakes you up, you've been revived. You're back to being awake. I was reading a quote somewhere. It was by, my mind went blank, the founder of Salvation Army. Booth. Yeah, that's what my mind went to that. And he had said something to his officers in the Salvation Army. He said, if we're going to keep the fire alive, we got to continually stoke the fire and remove the ashes. We don't get back to where we're supposed to be by accident. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, "And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in the booths in the feast of the seventh month." Verse 16. "So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in the courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was a very great gladness." Let's pray as we get started this evening. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for these songs that we can sing about you and to you and of you. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts tonight. Lord, we need to be stirred. Lord, if the fire in our own souls isn't stirred, it will go out. And we will again need to go back to that place just as Israel did over and over and over again. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be stirred even today and the events of this past week and what's ahead of us. And Lord, do something in our hearts tonight, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, number one, I want to talk about the result of the feast. Okay, we know they had this Feast of Tabernacles, and that's kind of what I read about, we've talked about in the past, but this was a wonderful time in Jerusalem. The people had, remember, they had a heart to hear the Word of God. Right? You remember that? They had a heart to hear the Word of God. Here's the problem for us right now. We don't have a belly to hear the Word of God because it's just been filled up. And now it's, yeah, thank you. Now we're a little, the body is trying to process that, so he's slowing down. But I tell you, the only thing that's going to help us to endure is having an ear to hear the Word of God tonight. Amen? Hey, that was good. Okay, that's what we're going to have to do. If you want to stay awake, respond. That'll help you. I understand. Listen, here's the thing. They heard it, and we're ready to follow it. This is the case. They heard it, we're ready to follow it. Even seeking out what hadn't been followed for many years. They heard this thing. Are we supposed to? They came and asked Ezra, is this right? We're supposed to be doing this? He said, yeah, that's what the Bible says. So then let's do it. Something was different in them. They were ready for this. The feast had caught this whole time was something going on. This may be one of the greatest examples of the Feast of Tabernacles, at least for a very long time, that we find here in the book of Nehemiah. It began on the 15th day and concluded on the 22nd day. And then look there in verse 18. "Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner." Now, how many here can remember being part of a 7-day revival meeting? How many here was ever part of a church service, a seven-day revival meeting? You girls don't remember that. Few of you. Maybe four of us in this whole building. When I first got saved, we were at the end of those days, but my pastor was like, let's have come in a Monday. We have Sunday church. Went through all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, back to church on Sunday, a seven-day revival meeting. Remember those days? I loved it. I wasn't the preacher. I was the guy sitting out there listening. I loved it. So exciting. Today, and then as time went on, we'd have like a, and then we'd go from Sunday to Sunday. We'd go from a Wednesday to Sunday. It's too long. And then we'd go from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now we have a Saturday meeting and we get poor attendance. I don't just mean us. I mean, this is our society. See, it's moved away, right? Could you imagine the nation of Israel did those kind of things too? What used to be an eight-day deal, right, all week, little bit by little bit by little bit, we got things to do, we got places to go, I got life. Who doesn't have, they didn't have life. They just packed up everything they owned. No, they couldn't pack up everything they owned. They left everything they owned, moved many years ago, started over, and then they're here building a life. They got stuff to do? Yeah. Sure, people always have stuff to do. I want to encourage us folks, church. I'm going to encourage us to have a seven-day revival meeting. We're going to have a seven-day revival meeting. And it might be my wife and I, because I'm going to make her come, and the preacher, whoever we have to come. I've got a guy in mind, and I've wrote him and asked him and said, hey, can you come? I want to do a revival meeting. And some of y'all are already thinking, oh, man, we're not going to eat every night because we'd die. Okay? But I want to start now. I don't even know when we're scheduling, but we're scheduling. We're going to schedule something like this based on if they did it for revival, I think we could do it today. Are we too weak for that? I mean, are we worse now than they were then and their despicable case, right? So I want to encourage us. I want you to, it's not on the calendar yet, but it's going to be on the calendar this year. And I want to encourage you, do everything you can to be a part of it. I'm going to give you as much notice as I can so that we can put it on your schedule. Listen, do your things during the day. I'm not saying, well, I've got to take a week of vacation. No, come. Listen, now they did that. I'm not going to ask you to do that. No, I'm just saying, let's put a heart to this thing to see. Amen? Amen. Look, did you count the amen? So who's going to come? No. I want to encourage us to that, and we'll invite people. We may invite other church. We're going to try to make it something. But I really believe it's something that I really feel like the Lord is. For a while now, I've thought about having other meetings. I'm like, I'm telling you as a pastor, I'm telling you folks, there's nothing. I don't know if hate's the right word, but the only one I can think of really fits. I hate when we have a special meeting and our people don't come. I don't schedule a special meeting for me. I go to preacher's meeting. I go to other meetings. There's a preacher's meeting in this area every month. If I want to go and hear three or four messages, we have at least once or twice a year, there's meetings I'm going to go to, and I get other preachers preach at me. I go. If it's just for me, I can go to other meetings. When I bring somebody here, it's for our church because I want our church to be stirred. All right? So when we do this, I'm just encouraging you with all you can do for that. Day by day, there was preaching from the Word of God. And the result of this week-long meeting was revival. Ha! So, you know what's exciting? So if we have a week-long meeting, we can have revival too. Well, it ain't going to hurt. It could be something. By the way, they probably did this other times and it didn't produce that. But by saying, I don't know if it's going to work, why even try? I'll tell you what, that definitely won't work. So, let me get back to this message. Revival brings... Now, do meetings guarantee revival? No. But I'm going to say this. Revival does bring repentance. When we as an individual have revival, it brings repentance. Look at chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, now in the 24th day. Remember, we ended the 22nd day with the feast. Now here we are 2 days later, the 24th day of this month. The children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. So here's what happened. This feast and dedication of time to the Lord, to the Word of God, by the way, that's what it was. It was that feast. They were reading the Word of God day by day, the Word of God. It brought them to the place, being in the Word of God, brought them to the place of seeing their condition before the Lord. See, God, they were reading the Word of God and hearing what God's Word had to say. And now here it was, at the end of that time, they were seeing themselves in light of the Word of God. Thus, feasting turned to fasting. It was a great time. It was a time of great gladness, right? We just read that. It was a time of great gladness. They were excited. They were going on. They were getting together. Wouldn't y'all just love to be here at church every night together? Yeah. This is a tough week to talk about that because we just did that. We just did that. And I'm not scheduling it soon, but I'm telling you, folks, I've been impressed. I feel like the Lord's impressed this upon me. The Spirit of God said, we got to do this. You're like, what did that sound like? I don't know. What did it feel like? I can't tell you the feeling. It's on my mind. And I think we got to do it, and I'm scared to do it. I'll be quite honest. I'm a little bit scared to do it because I'm afraid we're going to schedule it. And we get 8 of us here, or 10 or 12, 15 of us here, and it becomes discouraging to those. So I'm a little hesitant to do that, but I believe our church is at the place to say, let's do this. And you know what I want to do? I want to have a 3-day. You know I want to have a 3-day? Because it's safe. If I have a 3-day, I can do that 3-day. When we ask God's people to do something a little bit bigger, it all of a sudden becomes a huge chunk. They're feasting, a time of joy, a time exciting about learning the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God, all of a sudden turn to fasting when they realize something is going on. Sackcloth and ashes, or as it's stated here, earth upon them. It is a demonstration. By the way, it's always in the Word of God. It's a demonstration of repentance, right? Sackcloth and ashes is repentance. I see there's something wrong. I'm going to change their life. So, number one was the result of the feast. Number two is what revival looks like. What revival looks like. Look at verse 2 now. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. Okay, here's what revival looks like. There was immediately a separation from some things. Right? Revival brings separation. Not only, by the way, not only the strangers, you say, for revival, we have to separate from people. Listen, strangers meaning those outside of the faith of God. Listen, if you're going to be saved living like God, you should never be around lost people. No, I'm not saying that. No. But there is a separation, not of just the strangers themselves, but from their strangers' things. Putting on, listen, from their ways, from their methods, from their philosophies and so forth. I was talking about it this morning. We should not let the world dictate to us how we should think. Now, I'm saying that. I'm not saying that as somebody sits up here and you should not do that like I do not do that. It's hard. The world is all around us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life drawn on us all the time. But he said, listen, revival brings this thing. Causes us to get away. Revival definitely brings separation. Definitely brings separation. Now, rarely will anyone have true revival in their life without having something that they're going to put off from their life. I want y'all to think about that with me this afternoon. Right? I want you to think about it just for a quick moment here. Right now, in your mind, not with the person next to you, but maybe what would God want me to put off from my life? I want you to think about that in your mind, just from what would God want me right now? Maybe God's already, maybe there's something. I think I would like to say right now, we automatically think of some things in our life we want. I think this is what I should put off. Usually we think that based on what we've done about 8 other times and other times we've thought about that, right? Like, I need to put this off again. Let me to be clear on this thing. Separation from the things that other people separate from for the sake of separating from it isn't the true definition of revival. Let me say that again. Okay, that was a little tongue-tied, right? So, separation from things that other people separate from for the sake of separating from it isn't the true definition of revival. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Many times, at the end of a revival meeting, people will vow to quit watching TV. I'm not going to watch TV anymore. I'm going to watch less TV. Now we would say something like, I'm going to be on my phone less, right? Like back in the day, we didn't say that. We're going to have revival. Put your phones down. You know, we'd clear out the building. Like, yeah, I got to keep my phone, you know. But sometimes I'm going to quit watching TV. I'm going to stop going to movies. I'm going to quit wearing certain clothing. I'm not going to do certain things and so forth. We have that normal list of what revival is supposed to produce. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We have this list, and every revival meeting, there's people that stand up and say, you know, God just told me I'm going to quit doing this and this, and it's all the same stuff. And then next year we have a revival meeting, same stuff again by the same people. We used to have youth camp. So my youth camp, we'd run a youth camp, and I had some preachers, we had some preachers come in, and every year what they preached the world off the kids. And every year the kids would get up and they'd say, I'm going to go home and get rid of these clothes, or I'm going to get rid of this. And then next year we had camp and everybody's like, amen, amen, amen. Next year they'd come and have the same confessions. Because you know what they were doing? They were separating from stuff that people said they should separate from, so for the sake of separating from it. Wasn't really that I'm putting it off. It's this is what I'm supposed to do. Listen, what others think separation or bad things that Christians shouldn't do, I'm going to get rid of that because that's what bad people think. Essentially, I can get separated from me and just conform to others among us. I'm going to quit being like me and I'm going to start being like somebody else. Can I say this, folks? Other people, even good Christians that have good standards, are not the mark that we're to go for. Listen, we don't look at somebody and say, you know, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. They're awake for most services. They do this and their kids are like that or this thing. Listen, I'm not saying people aren't examples for us. I'm not saying that. But we're not trying to be like them. Listen, because here's the thing. I want to let y'all in on something. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. My goal isn't to be like somebody else that's going to come short of the glory of God either. Look at verse 3 now. He says, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. Amen. 1/4, a quarter of the day. Y'all are like, man, it wasn't after they ate. No, they were fasting then. Okay. And 1/4, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. A quarter of the day. That's like 6 hours. 6 hours they read the Word of God. Stood up reading the Word of God. 6 hours they confessed about what they did based on what the Word of God said. I guess the rest, they were just sitting down to get over that. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you want to see an enduring, lasting revival in your life, one that truly brings you closer to the Lord and stirs and drives your life to holiness, this is what I want to say to you. I want you to get this, folks. I want you to get the heart of what I'm saying right here. I've got a long message prepared here. I do. I have a long message prepared. I actually, when I was preparing this message, I wasn't thinking about us having full bellies, to be honest. I'm not going to preach it all tonight, this afternoon. I can't even remember what time of day it is. The problem with this is about a 3 or 4 chapter message that's going to be right here. Not my message, but what's in there, and I already broke it up, and so we'll get to some of it later. We'll see. We'll just stop when the Lord says this is the point. But I want you to get this. This is a very important part of what I'm saying here. If you want to see an enduring, lasting revival in your life, one that's going to bring you closer to the Lord and stirs and drives you to holiness, listen to what I'm saying right here. It will not be by conforming to someone else. Not even to me. I'm just going to do it. This is what, folks, I've talked about. This is why I don't tell you all my standards. This is why I don't like to set dress codes and why I want to set this. I don't want to do that because some people will absolutely do that just to preach the just to please the pastor. By the way, not because they love me, but because the role of the pastor, like that's what we're supposed to do. It makes God happy if I make the pastor happy. Now, there is a part that he says, you know, about being the kind of way that the pastor doesn't have to be grieved over, give an account for you. But I'm just saying this, folks. If all you do is conform to me or to someone else, just, that is not going to bring lasting revival to your life. It won't steer you. It won't bring you to holiness. But there's one thing that we find here, and that was by letting the Word of God convict you. They got into the Word of God. And listen, what they read for the fourth part of the day out of God's Word is what convicted them to confess. They found what God said. And when they found what God said, it caused them to say, wow, that's what God says about me. How often do you hear the Word of God and personally apply it? This is part of having our minds, gird about the loins of our mind, being prepared to say, listen, God, speak to me. What are you saying with that thing? What has that got to do with me? Listen, if you're going to make some change in your life, which you and I definitely need to do. We need to do it continually. Look to the Word of God to determine it. Okay. That sounded like just, yeah, duh. Right? Obviously, Pastor, that's what we would do. But that's not often what we do. It's actually not often what we do. We set these convictions of this thing of revival based on what other people are doing and what other people expect out of me. And maybe there's been some form of rebellion in this way. It says, they all want me to do this. I don't think I need to do this, so I'm not going to do it. And then you kind of get a little, then you want to get revival. And you're like, okay, now I'll do what they want me to do. And we think we've gotten over that rebellion, but it's really not. It's still just that kind of thing. Listen, think about it this way. What scripture are you transformed by that determines that that thing is what pleases God? What I mean by this, is a confusing way to say that. What I mean by this is when there's something in your life that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to put that thing off. I'm going to start doing this different. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this. What scripture exactly, what passage, what verse, what principle out of the Word of God is the one that caused that particular change in your life? Not this, well, I want to get right with God, so I want to be like the preacher, like the preacher's family, or like somebody else, some godly Christian. I want to be like them, so when we get stirred, and then if I could ask you, well, why are you doing that? You know what I love? I love somebody to come and say, Pastor, God has convicted my heart. This is what I'm going to now do. I love that. Y'all do that. I love that. That is encouraging to me. Somebody says, God's doing this in my life. That's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to want to ask you? Well, what is it specifically out of the Word of God that shows you that? Right? And if you say, well, that's what Christians do. That won't last. It'll last until you decide, you know what? There's more people that don't do that than do it. Right? Dress standards. Dress standards, I think dress standards are important. I think how we dress, how we appear, how we carry ourselves, how we demonstrate our life to the world, I think that's important. But there's more people, there's so many varying standards of dress that if you try to be like the highest thing, you're going to be such a minority of people, you're going to say, you know what, after a while, you're like, yeah, I don't think I really like doing this anymore. And matter of fact, I was just doing it because this person did it, and then they quit doing it. And then the whole thing moves. And so what in the Word of God has caused you to make the change that you're making? Not just, well, that's what good Christians do. No, folks. The Word of God is what convicted them. They didn't look to the priests. The priests were part of the ones in making these changes. Before you attempt, listen to what I'm going to say here to you. Before you attempt to determine what other people should do to be wonderful, set apart, separated Christians, be sure you have clear scripture that shows them that. So in other words, don't say, well, you should do this because that's what God wants. You should do this thing. This is what God wants for you. And you say, okay, well, that's great. Well, show me in the Bible where it says it. Well, it's in there. Where? Well, it's between Genesis and Revelation somewhere. It's in there, right? If you can't show somebody a passage of Scripture why they should make some change in their life, then don't do it. Don't do it. By the way, I want to say this to you today. The Word of God has plenty of concise direction from God. There's so much in here that God tells us exactly how to live, exactly how to walk, what to put our heart on, what to keep. So much is in there that why would we go try to find stuff that's not in there? So, in the Old Testament, it was clearly defined by actions. Thou shalt not, right? Thou shalt not. Listen, don't eat this, don't touch this, don't go around this, don't be in this place, don't do any servile work on the Sabbath day. There's so many things, the laws, there was 10 commandments, oh, there's so many more. 10 commandments is just a group that kind of covers everything. So many, there's dietary laws, right? Sabbath laws. So many things in the Old Testament, very concise on the thing of action. What to do and what not to do. In some respects, it was a bit easier. You ever? I don't know if you asked this when you were newly saved. I asked this a lot when I was newly saved. What does God want me to do on this? Is this okay? Is that okay? Did you ever do that when you got saved? Am I the only two people nodding their head? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, is this okay with God? Is that okay with God? And you'd ask somebody, and they're like, they're him-hawing around too because it's not exactly. So the Old Testament, there was no doubt. You knew exactly what you're doing. By the way, is mostly what you don't do. Very strict, except for what you did do was how you worship and how you give offerings and how you traveled this place and how you had these feasts and this kind of thing. In the Old Testament, it was clearly defined actions. Here's the thing. In the New Testament, it's clearly defined attitudes. But can I be real honest with you? In the New Testament, we do not find very few clearly defined actions. I'm not saying there's none, but it's very limited comparative to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's so much less of what we do and why we do it. Jesus said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not. Thus or thus. I say, if you even think on it. See, we're talking about in the New Testament, it's less about actions and more about attitude. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that we find so clear from I'm going to shut my Bible. We're about done. Okay? Y'all with me now? That's the Baptist wake up. I was trying to think there was this, there's these pills we'd take when I was a kid that'd wake you up so you could do revive or something like that. Dude. Vivarin, that's what it was, thank you. And you'd wake you up like, yeah, go take a test or something. Didn't work, but it was just caffeine rush. But that is the Baptist one. I'm going to close my Bible. We're about to conclude here. Oh, well, amen. I can handle that then. You know, most of us. So the is this in the New Testament. I'm sorry. In the Old Testament with the Jews, they proved, which was the purpose. It was the schoolmaster. The law was the schoolmaster to show us this. When we try to do all the things, it doesn't last. Jesus showed us that when the heart is changed, so much more than what we do. Because, you know, when my heart has changed, my attitude has changed, well, I didn't kill them, but you maimed them. Well, you know, okay, no, that's still against the law. But, you know, I didn't do anything to them, but I hate them. Right? Jesus said, no, you've just not doing it isn't enough. It's about your attitude towards them. Revival, maybe for us today, and I think for us today, primarily when we change our attitude about some things, I'm telling you, you will not get revival You'll not come to a place of revival without having some separation from some things. Something in your life. And maybe what God is going to begin to show us tonight and through our life is we're going to get to this place of what we need to be seeking, what God deals with is an attitude. We're going to get into the scripture some more. I had two chapters we're going to cover tonight. But from the looks of your faces, we ain't making that. We ain't making that. And that's, I'm not blaming you. This is about how long I like to preach after we fill our bellies. That's okay. I got 25 minutes and probably at 20 we were losing you. Okay. And that's okay. This is part of it. That's why they read then and they fasted later. So next week we'll fast on Sunday. No. Listen, I want you to get this. If we get this started, and this is the introduction message, we'll get to it next week. Is this revival and what we're seeing isn't conforming to others. Yeah, folks, there's things that other people example we want to see. That's fine. Let other people be an example. But it's the Word of God. So I don't know if that's enough. Is this enough? Is it? Then let's let this convict us. Not just this or someone else, but the Word of God convict us. I'm telling you, folks, I've always seen revival that's based around this book. So much, it's life-changing, permanently, versus something that's external, that's temporary. I can stop doing something for a little while, but if it's not the Word of God that stirred me, I'm going to gravitate back to it. Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, this afternoon as we begin on this thought and we see the result of the feast and, Lord, revival begins to take place in Israel. What a wonderful thing, Lord, the story. You know the story, and God, you've given it to us and so much there. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to really take from what they did and what they learned. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grab a hold of some of that to apply to our lives today. Lord, we might seek you. What a wonderful thing it is, Lord, to be in that perfect place that you've set for us. Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way now, and thank you for it. Listen, if God